Well, I just came out to meet you, JD. That was my whole plan today.
Ooh.
Time for the Angler Within podcast with Roy Bilby.
So, here we are in the Bass Pro Shops in Utica, New York. We got here shortly after the store opened, so it's still a little quiet. There's not a lot of traffic yet, but we are set up in the back of the store by the big fish tank doing our podcast, recording it live to celebrate 1 year, JD.
Which you can actually hear the sound of the aerator slash waterfall that goes into this thing.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to get a picture of us right now because this... Look at it.
There we go.
There you go. Hard to believe it's been a year.
Yeah, it's gone fast, but it's been an incredibly enjoyable ride. Incredibly enjoyable ride. You're so good to work with, and you take what we do and just make it come out like butter.
I polish it up.
Yeah, yes, you do. You polish up a lot of not so shiny.
But having good talent to work with is three quarters of the game. So
appreciate that.
It's good. It's good. So shortly, I actually get to go up onto the tank with you, which is like a bucket list item, and I want to thank you for making that happen because...
Well, that goes to the manager of the store, Justin, my good friend, who's incredibly supportive of what I do and what we do. He's a fan of the podcast. He's a fan of my Instagram. At the store opening this morning, I love to be here for the morning meeting, and some stores don't do it on the weekends, but the Utica store always does. And two of them, Justin did his opening speech to everybody, told them about how well they've been doing during the Spring Fishing Classic. This store is an outpost. It's one of the smaller stores. I think it's the fourth smallest in the country, yet they are at the top of the list when it comes to sales and moving product out of the store.
Sweet.
How are we doing, sir?
Not too bad.
Always good. And they just have an incredible team here. And then his assistant manager, you know, gave his talk to everybody. And then Justin said, Roy, we got one more minute. What are you doing today? So I told them all that we're doing a live recording of our anniversary podcast and told them what's been going on in the other stores I've been to, and just looking forward to a unique day here because I have not got to do this with you in a store before.
We've never gotten to do it, period, before. Here, there's Justin.
Here's Justin coming by right
there.
Now. You got a minute to say hello?
Sure.
Pulling a bunch of... just talk right into that. Can you...
All right.
Look at you. You're
look
famous.
Trying to be famous.
Yeah. GM Justin.
GM Justin.
Here he is. You're actually technically the first person besides us to talk on this. And your son. Oh, yes. Sorry. Oh, God. How can I forget your son? Yeah. Shoot. I'm sorry.
Well,
my
we're
bad.
The world's greatest Bass Pro Shop, Utica, New York. So.
Absolutely. I was just talking about how much you guys pump out of this outpost. It's incredible the numbers you post.
We do very well.
Yeah,
we're here
team.
For the Anaronics. That's right. Yeah, best team in the world right here.
So Justin, this is actually the first time that Roy and I have ever actually sat together to do this because it's always virtual. And so this is the first time in person we've done this.
That's
almost weird
cool.
for us.
This is almost weird for us, but it's great at the same time.
Awesome.
But thank you again. I just want to thank, I know I've already said it a half dozen times,
yep.
But thank you for letting us come in the store and do this today. We're going to have a party.
All right. Thanks you for doing what you do every day.
Yeah, absolutely.
I will try not to fall in the tank when I'm up there with him.
Yeah. This is not a TikTok deal. Good morning.
Oh,
how you doing?
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Looks like you got yourself a fan there, Roy.
A lot of people in this store know me because I've been in this store for 8 years. And this is home.
You're a fixture.
I love all the other stores, but this is home. I've done more appearances in this store than any other. Let's see, 8 years, five of them as a 50. Give me a second. I'm doing the math in my head. I have 82 appearances in this store. I've been incredibly blessed.
That's good. So what happened fishing this week? We had a nice warm couple of days there.
I'll tell you what. We did get out the best one by far, and I did an Instagram post on this. We went out, what day was it this week? Wednesday. We went to my beloved creek, and it was just the because we had heavy rains prior to that, overnight, like 3 days ahead, we had heavy torrential downpours on Sunday night. You could hear it pounding. It was when I was driving back from Bridgeport, Connecticut, the last 20 minutes of my drive, I had to have the wipers on high. It was pouring so hard. And I'm thinking the whole time, this is going to mess up. Look who just walked in.
Who's?
I'll get back to my story. Come over here.
Hold on. Before you do that again, let's try this. Before you do that, I'm gonna raise this up.
My tournament partner, Mark Kiebers. Love you, man.
Just
walked in the store. Kibbs Custom Lures. This guy is a genius. I refer to him as my mad scientist partner because he's always dreaming up different ways to concoct lures, and everything he makes catches fish. So,
how are you guys doing today?
We're
doing all right.
Awesome.
It's good to be here.
Yeah. We need another chair.
Yeah.
We need a third chair. Where's Justin?
I'll go get a third chair.
Yeah, go get a third chair in a minute, but yeah.
I don't need a chair.
You do need a chair. You gotta sit in with us.
Oh boy.
That's the beauty of this whole setup, is the fact that we can have people sit in.
Yeah.
See, now I'm on my fancy headset instead of on that one. So you've got like the Cadillac of microphones now.
I do see that you set up in the fly section. What is that trying to tell Roy?
Totally by chance. Totally by chance.
Doesn't matter.
I noticed it as well. I'm like, no, go figure. I'm in the...
We got another chair coming. We can set
the
fly, it up right
yeah,
on the
yeah,
corner.
You're going to be hanging out with us for a minute, Mark.
You got to ask Roy, who is the only guy he allows to use a fly rod on his boat.
That's a skeleton in my closet, man. Yes, he is the only person who's ever used a fly rod on my Nitro.
And caught fish.
And caught fish. And good ones. But I... Still in a tournament, I'm like, yeah, no, that, please don't do that.
I'm going to be the second.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about that.
Watch this. And did you outfish him with it?
Some days.
Oh, yeah. We go back and forth. It's all good.
I love it.
I have learned a lot from Roy. Roy has been a phenomenal teacher and angler, and he's let me see my angler within, and I've grown a lot, but I've also taught Roy one or two things.
Yes, he has.
Because I'm a little crazy, like he said, when it comes to making up lures.
He is the mad scientist creator of stuff that I look at it, and he's like, I'm going to try this, and I'm like, yeah, okay, I'm just going to use my standard bass gear, and he's keeping pace. And the creations he makes. Now, years ago, right now, you've got, Berkley, Strike King, Live Target, they are all using the photo imaging now to create such realistic patterns on the crankbaits and lures that we can put in the water now. But years prior to that, I had some old Man's One Minus crankbaits, which has been a tremendous bait for me, that had all the paint chewed off them. And I took them to him because he's a taxidermist. He has that ability.
Taxidermist. It's the ride that a dermist would take to go ahead and
Well, he's not an Uber dermist. He's a taxidermist.
Taxidermist. Have you noticed that I pick on the way he talks like all the time?
You mean sonar?
Constantly.
Sonar?
Yeah.
Sonar.
I asked him to take that out, but he didn't.
Not a chance.
Not a chance.
All the stuff he wants me to take out is the stuff that's like the best all the time.
It's because of the county he lives in.
From your perspective,
he's a little bit out there. Richmondville, they have their own accent up there. Sonar.
I'm just impressed that he got over what we normally do in that county, which is use dynamite.
Yeah. Hey, we weren't going to talk about that.
They use dynamite. Have you fished with dynamite before?
No, I have not. Yeah, I have. My name's Cracker Jack. My nickname's Cracker Jack. Come on. Come on.
We'll be stopping our apparel departments today and save 50% off the lowest marked price on all clearance.
Well, if there was ever a doubt in your mind that we were live at Bass Pro.
And footwear and get 50% off the lowest marked price.
Why is he giving us a shout out?
Thank you.
Where was our shout out? Go over and say
that. And I'll put this out there right now, the Berkeley Slobber Knocker, which is one of your favorites. Berkeley Chopo and the Berkeley Fritzside crankbaits are 50% off during our spring fishing classic, which ends Wednesday the 26th. So get in a store or get online and get those ordered and save a lot of money.
Right.
To complete my story, I took those Man's 1-minus crankbaits to Mark and said, hey, you're an ubermodernist. Could you paint these to look like a live bluegill for me? He's like, yeah, done. And he painted those. I had photo image crankbaits before anybody was making them because of my relationship with my tournament partner. And he's always been gracious about fulfilling my crazy ideas. But those baits caught and still catch fish for me. So thanks for all the great times on the water with you, man. It's awesome.
Well, it's actually really all your fault that I paint lures, because you got me started on that. And then I told my wife, I said, well, it only costs us like $3 to $5 to do a lure. Why would I pay $10 in a store? And so I started buying them and I started painting them. And then everybody started going, hey, can you paint this for me? Can you paint that for me?
How fast were you realizing that your paint schemes were like killers that were out there?
Pretty quick, right away. Pretty quick. I have a smelt pattern that I paint that's full iridescent green, blue, and violet.
Yeah.
All on a white background. And you can't. It looks like a smell. It's incredible.
When you roll those over, and he gets so excited about it. He's like, dude, you got to see this. Roll that in the sunlight and watch what it does. And it's unbelievable. Kibbs Custom Lures, his stuff catches.
K-I-B-S, Kibbs, yep. CustomLures.com?
No, I'm just on Facebook.
Just on Facebook.
Yeah.
Look up Kibbs Custom Lures. Is it a group, or is it like you just have a business page on
just
there?
Just a little business page. I don't post much because I'm too busy fishing.
It's
That's
building.
A good excuse
it's
not
building.
To be posting. That's awesome. And then how many lures do you paint in a year?
Depends how many clients I have. I have a couple stores that are carrying them. There's one in Oneonta that carries it.
Who's in Oneonta that's carrying it?
Adventure Outdoors.
Okay.
On the south end.
Yep.
Then there's Creekside Sports in Schoharie.
In Schoharie, yep.
And the shop over in Fort Plain.
Mm-hmm.
Outdoor Sports in Fort Plain. And whatever they need, I just paint for them. They want custom stuff. And I don't make any money, but I have a lot of fun doing it.
His stuff is magic.
You don't make any money doing that?
Not really. I have so much invested now.
I was going to say, I'm like, it's, you know, obviously they've got inventory, but you don't get a whole, like, your royalty check is not buying you a Cadillac.
I can barely support my bass tournament habit.
Which
no
is
kidding. What it became. Now, the first tournament he ever fished with me, we knew each other. We'd fished together a few times. I said, hey, my partner that I currently have, it got a job working weekends. Dumb.
Yeah, it's stupid.
I said, I would you be interested in doing bass tournaments? He's like, well, I'm a trout salmon guy. I'm like, well.
Put it here.
So
he immediately pointed out that we were set up in front of the fly fishing stuff.
Well,
and tell him that I didn't pick this out. You did.
No, I picked this spot, and it's fitting. But we, the first tournament that we fished together was on the Mohawk River Kiwanis Launch down near Rotterdam Junction, New York. As we pulled in, we had a bunch of guys eyeballing us because they'd never seen Mark before, and I had one or two guys walk up to me under their breath as they walked by. I said, oh, brought a ringer for the river.
Huh? Got a new guy on the Mercules.
Yeah, got a ringer for the river, huh? And I said, well, let me stop you right there. Number one, he's a trout and salmon guy. He's not a bass fisherman, okay? That's number one. Number two?
He's a multi-angler. He's bi-angler.
He's a bi-angler because he uses a fly rod. But today is the first day he's ever fished the Mohawk River. So, no, he's not a ringer. I just hope we catch a limit. And we finished third. And nobody believed me after that. But it was the truth. But we've had four seasons together. And last year we finished 7th overall in points, made the championship, and we're looking to build on that this year.
So can I ask a question to you guys? If you're making 7th place in points, how many places pay out when you get, if you're doing that? Are you guys making money at 7th place?
It all depends on how many people show up for a tournament, how many places they pay out, and it varies. So
oh,
it varies.
Okay.
I want to finish the story I started when I got interrupted when Mark walked in, because it just lit me up to see
before
it. You asked me about my last fishing trip.
Yeah. Wow. That's so 20 minutes ago.
Yeah. Well, this has been good. It's good to have you on our podcast. And we went to the creek. We fished 6 hours. The water was 2 foot higher due to that rain. It was way more off color. Visibility was like 10 inches, and the current was really, really swift. And we had to work it. The first fish was a walleye, but that was the only one. And I found an area where on the surface, the current looked a lot slower. And I reasoned that, you know, with all the heavy current, even though it was only about 7 foot over there, fish were moving up. Surface temperature, because the runoff was 44 degrees, but the water below that wasn't that warm, nowhere near that warm. But warmer water and less current, and we caught 44 smallmouth, and not small ones. If you saw the Instagram post, we were on good fish.
So you were catching those in the slower water. That was the trick.
That was the deal that day.
On the bottom?
On the bottom.
Heavy as you can go?
I was using a quarter-ounce jig. It's only 7 foot, and there was less current. It was getting down there, and the proof of that, I lost 3 jigs, and my buddy lost 3 jigs. So, we were making it to the bottom, and most of the fish were biting. And I've said this before, when you fish off-color water, a lot of guys go to bright lures. I go to dark ones. Black neon was the color. That's black with a red flake. He caught a bunch on Maxcent. I caught a bunch on Maxcent, but we also caught them on standard plastics. If you had that black neon color, we used a Helgramite, we used a tube, used a grub. They all caught fish.
Paddle tail grub?
Yes.
Green?
Yeah, it was actually a curly tail. But here's a little trick of mine. I cut the tail off, so it looks like a Ned rig, and there's certain days when it will get more bites.
I don't cut my tails off because I paid for it. I want to use it.
Yeah, when you're dealing with a situation where their currency is plastics, I suppose you can have a lot to cut the baits off of. Plus, not to mention, this man is using plastic baits from like 1987 still. He hasn't even gotten into his 1990 supply yet.
I don't know about that.
Well, he's seen my basement.
I've never seen so much fishing stuff in my life.
Well, you're in my life. Shop, so I,
well, this
stuff
is the only thing that's comparable.
Yeah.
This is it. You know.
Well, I'm very blessed.
Shy of a shoe section.
Yeah.
You've got everything down there.
I got waders down there, and I got all my muck boot collection and all that stuff, but they're in a storage bin, so you don't see them.
Yeah. That's crazy. So we're here with the mad scientist, and obviously you've been name-dropped a few times through the episodes.
Yep.
I've heard that.
So it's really cool to have you here, because I always wonder what you look like, and so now I see you in person.
Well, I just came out to meet you, JD. That was my whole plan today.
Ooh. Speaking of JD, where's that gift? Let me open this thing up.
I have. Now, for those of you that saw the Instagram post way back around Christmas time, JD gifted me a magic fisherman, instant fisherman.
With a flying lure?
Yep, with a flying lure. It took me a while, but my son helped me find the perfect touche gift.
This isn't something that has to do with when we were talking about going to the bathroom on the water,
no,
is it?
It's not.
Okay. All right.
And I wouldn't even gone there. You brought that
all
up.
All right. Just making sure. A touche gift, huh?
So he's opening the package now. How we doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm always good.
And the package was beautifully wrapped in a breakfast coffee.
Thank you.
Donut. wrapping paper, which is very beautiful.
Well, I'm going to do surgery. He's got the sharpest knife in his pocket that's so tiny at all times.
Speedy sharp.
Roy could do surgery on someone if he had to.
Well, I keep that blade sharp.
Clearly.
It's a
Lord.
Buck knife. It's always sharp.
It's a buck knife.
Dull knife cut people.
It's a legit buck knife. Here, I'll close it before I give it to you. Okay. You handed it to me with the blade open. You didn't even tell me it was open. Cut a corner off your totem chip for that.
Yeah, you can do that.
Do you know that that's considered hazing now, if you do that?
Really?
Yeah. Guess what? We're going toe-to-toe this year. Love you, man. Real important. I like that you keep that around here.
Do you know what that is?
That's the pocket fisherman.
Yeah, it is.
Where did you?
eBay. $30.
Pocket versus prime pocket condition. Fisherman versus instant fisherman.
Yep. So what we're going to do is we're going to go fishing this year, but we're going to bring both those rigs, and we're each going to catch a fish on both rigs.
And see who gets one faster.
Yeah, and compare the quality.
I'm going to get a picture with this too. Good Lord, Roy.
Merry Christmas, buddy.
There you go. Take a photo. Merry Christmas in March. All right.
Perfect.
The pocket fisherman. I've actually seen one of these. I had one of these once. My dad inherited a bunch of stuff out of someone's father had passed away, and he had one of these. I thought it was silly. Because it is. No, it's very cool. Thank you, man. I appreciate that, Roy.
Yeah,
I appreciate that. Pocket fisherman.
Yeah,
the spin casting outfit.
Touché, yes.
Made by Popeil.
Popeil's pocket fisherman.
Today's episode brought to you by Popeil. Been around since gone since 1986.
Yep. Do they have that in the bait casting version? Because that would be awesome.
Yeah. No.
I don't know.
They don't. Thank goodness.
Is there anything else in that box that I should go rooting around for?
No, that's it.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Way to go.
Yeah. Now you can have all the popcorn peanuts if you want to do something.
I might use I might sell something on eBay later today.
Put that
back
to
use.
Well played, by the way.
Yeah.
Well played.
Well played. Nicely done. Nicely done, Roy.
Well, my son helped me do that. So, and as long as my buddy Mark's here, I got to give a shout out to an incredible fisherman. That's his wife, Jerry. She is difficult to outfish. She is one of the most naturally gifted fisher people I've ever met in my life.
You don't want to call her a fisher lady or a fisher woman?
No, she's a fisherman.
She's technical.
She's, with all due respect, she's the man. And I mean that in the best possible way, Jerry. A real pleasure to have in the boat. She can catch them with the best of them.
She learns. She listens. She's technical. She picks up the technical stuff even better than I do. She'll yell at me when I'm doing things wrong after she learns how to do it.
That's true. That's true.
Perfect.
But she can catch them. I've often said, you know, I'm joking with Mark, you know, if there's ever a tournament you can't make, Jerry could be my partner for a day.
She was willing last year.
Yeah.
She was.
She wanted to do one with him last year when I couldn't make a tournament because of another commitment. It was the day my son got married. And I never did mention to him that I have a tournament that day, you know. his wedding was more important, and it was an awesome day.
So, mad scientist, tell me, Roy is big on putting up numbers.
Mm-hmm.
He is big on statistics. He is big on data.
Mm-hmm.
He is big on all the stuff most folks would never think about doing while fishing. What is it like getting onto his boat in a tournament? Psychologically, like, what's your mindset? Where's your head game?
I would probably say my first thing was like, I don't want to let them down. I want to make sure I catch a couple fish. But I had a bunch of things that I wanted to throw. I'm still testing things on the water when we're in a tournament, which drives him crazy sometimes.
Yes, yeah,
but it works.
Have a game plan. Be prepared.
Most of the time, in the early stages of doing tournaments, I didn't have a game plan. I would go out like I was recreation fishing.
And you can't do that.
You can't do that.
You have to get out of that mindset.
You have to get out of that mindset.
And he did.
And was that with coaching by Roy? Did Roy was he like, listen, here's how you need to think about this when we go out there? Was there a come to Jesus meeting between the two of you where it was like, you know?
Actually, I would say no. He just led by example. He let me fish the way I want to fish. And one of the greatest things with Roy and I.
You can't cry in public. It's not allowed.
Yeah, I can. One of the greatest things is I fish totally different. Uh-huh. So I fish like a salmon trout guy.
Yeah.
And he'd be like, why are you throwing topwater at 1 o'clock in the afternoon? Fish aren't, bam, fish on.
Yep.
And he's like, that's not supposed to happen. I'm like, I don't know. It does.
Explain yourself, scientist.
Well, that's the thing. I think within the bass fishing box, and he thinks without that box. Right. So the advantage that gives us is we have two totally different schools of thought, but they work together incredibly well. There's tournaments where he's discovered what we need to do, so we both do it. And mm-hmm. it makes all the difference in the world when you got two guys doing two different things, discovering what the deal is on that particular day.
I know you talked in one of your episodes about me putting a flipper blade on the end of a Z-Man.
Yeah.
Turd. Don't ask me why it worked, but it did. It was phenomenal. Fish were coming up and slamming it. I've put flipper blades on the line going down as you're casting that out, because I always run a lead. And the fish would follow that right down to the bait and grab it. So don't ask me why some of the stuff works, but it does. And I think out of the box, because I think sometimes as bass fishermen, and you see the industry opening up right now, where they always have to have something new, because fish do get used to it.
Yeah, they get conditioned.
Yeah, 5 years ago, whopper plopper was like, you could not go wrong with that. Now you're seeing a little.
They're getting smarter.
There's a little resistance to it. You don't. They don't come to it like they used to.
Because everybody started throwing it.
Right. Because it was easy. It was an easy bait.
Anybody could work it. Throw it out. Wind it in. That would catch fish.
Yeah.
So now I'm going to ask a question that's going to kind of leave Roy on the sidelines. Let's talk fly fishing for a minute.
All right.
How many days you got on the water so far with the fly rod?
I'll be
this
back
year?
In a little bit, you guys. We're-
I have no days on the fly with a fly rod this year.
What? Why?
Shoulders don't handle it as well as they used to.
Mm.
So, but I used to do steelhead and salmon with the fly rod. My biggest steelhead to date is 36 inches and 16 pounds.
Wow. Oh, my goodness.
And what size rod did you get that on?
That was a Albright 7/8 weight, 10 foot.
Okay. It's a little heavier, duty guns there.
Size 10 hook.
Okay.
So.
And it ran, I'm sure, for a long time.
And I went really, I always used light line. So that's it. That's something I do different with the bass guys is I'm running light line most of the time.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He is.
And I run.
Well, the sensitivity is better. You can probably detect the strike faster than Roy can.
Right.
No offense to, I'm just saying with the lighter line, it's more sensitive. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying that, you know, he can.
That's why. Use braid in a lot of applications because it's much thinner diameter, and you can and it's braid, you can feel everything.
Right.
I got many days in last year bass fishing, that definitely trumped my fly fishing days on the water last year because I was trying to learn. You can't help but not go out there and put these things into practice that he's talking about.
Right.
You know, I had to listen to it so many times. You know that I live up on a very special body of water.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I first got up there, I was getting skunked every day until I called Roy and he dropped a little wisdom on me. And then I caught my personal best out there with Roy last spring.
Yep.
So I think I actually beat you that day size wise.
Yeah, you did.
I did. 4.75 or something. It was big.
It was a good
that
fish.
That was a big fish.
I still love running poppers for bass, man. There ain't nothing better in the world.
Right?
The top water.
Yeah.
It's great.
Visual. It's awesome.
For sure. Yeah.
I like it, too.
Yeah.
But Mark and I always say, you know, and I want to throw this out there because when I'm at the different Bass Pro Shop stores, I have a lot of parents bring in, like, 12-year-olds and 14-year-olds and 15-year-olds going, he is so into fishing. You know, and I'll talk to their kid for a while, and then I'll take a minute with the parents, and I'll say, hey, he or she truly has, I can see, they truly have a passion for fishing, and you need to feed that passion, because I will tell you this, at this point in their life, they have no idea, none, how much trouble that passion is going to keep them out of. for the next 10 years of their life when all this negative stuff is trying to sneak in there and pull them away from, you know, just being good kids. There's too many negative things out there. And if they're immersed in fishing, like I was, immersed in the outdoors, they will not have time for that nonsense to get the rest of their life messed up forever with prison records and all that stuff. And the parents understand that, mm-hmm. and really appreciate that I took 2 minutes to tell them that and reinforce that idea in their minds. Let them fish, get them outside, immerse them in that culture, and feed that passion, because it will keep them out of trouble until the end of 10 years when they get married, and then it could become a problem. But it's all about balance.
Unless she fishes too.
Yeah.
fishing becomes a problem in a marriage. My cousin's father-in-law, and I'm sorry to cut you off, but I'll let you go in a second.
No, you're good.
My cousin's father-in-law, quote-unquote, gave up fly fishing because it was taking over his life. His wife asked him to stop.
Wow.
Because it was taking over his life. So your better half, Roy, who, by the way, I have to have cut my hair. I didn't know she was
she's awesome.
She cut your hair?
I only have three of them, so yes.
Woman on the face of God's green earth. I fish 125 days a year, and she supports that. What are you doing tomorrow? I said, I'm going fishing
125.
Again. Like, good for you. 120. Oh, you think it's more than that?
How many days a year do you get out on average?
I have, on average, 125 entries in my journal every year. You think it's more than that?
How many
page numbers?
How many casts equal a day?
Yeah. It varies. I don't know. That's one thing I don't count. I just count the number of fish caught and released and the type of species and all that.
Because Orvis says 10 casts. 10 casts is a day on the water. For the 20 and 20 or whatever it is. They make it do like the trying it out 20 days in a month or whatever it is.
10 yep. casts is a day on the water.
They get out and get your 10 casts.
Well, that's off base.
I knew that before we leave the dock.
Yeah. It will,
no kidding.
It will increase your mental, you'll be in a better place mentally if you just go out and take 10 casts, be it with a spinning rod or a fly rod, but I'm talking fly rods right now.
I wouldn't. I can't go out and take 10 casts and leave.
Sometimes you don't have enough time to get a full day on the water. Ask this guy over here. Hey, buddy. Hey, guy, over there with the people. He isn't hearing me. I'm talking to you. Hooded sweatshirt. Hey, he's not paying attention.
No, he doesn't hear
me. They don't care. I don't know. Well, I want to ask him how many days he gets on the water and how much time he spends when he gets out there. And if he can't get 4 hours in, do you still go? I say you should still go.
Oh,
If you can't
absolutely
get more than, you know.
But I could tell you this. I've never gone out, made 10 casts, and stopped.
How did that guy just straight up ignore me when he walked by? Hey, who is this guy? Bring him over.
Well, come here, John.
This is John.
I got a question for you.
Get the mic over towards him, but make sure you're talking to the microphone while you're asking the question.
He works at Bass Pro Shops, one of the supervisors.
Customer relations, John.
How many days a year do you spend fishing?
When I get out there, usually two or three a week. But
2 or 3 a week times 52 weeks is 100 days? You get 100 days on the water?
If I'm lucky. Some days I get out there, I do one day, and other days I get out there, I can do a fish for the whole week. It's just a matter of how much time I have and where we're going.
If you don't have a full 4 hours to block out for fishing or a full day, is it worth it? Do you still go if you only have time to get, like, say, 10 casts in? Will you go?
Definitely.
All right.
Plus, I take my daughter with me, too, and she loves it. So
does that count as a day?
Yeah. Day with her, it's good to go.
All right. Let me ask you this. Have you ever gone out, made 10 casts, and said, I'm good, and left?
Heck no.
Yeah.
No, sometimes you only have time to take. I don't stop at 10.
Thank you.
I don't stop at. You just led the witness. That was complete.
I did not lead
that was
the
complete,
witness.
That was complete BS.
I asked a straightforward question.
You asked a pointed question to further your point.
Overruled.
You know, JD, I'm surprised you even thought of this. Like, well, that's because fly fishermen only need 10 casts to catch their fish.
Come here.
Okay. He's got to do something, right?
All
right. We're messing everyone's day up right now. Some people are just ignoring us.
Here's a buddy just walked in. How you doing, Quinn? This is my buddy, John Grady.
Look at this crew. I got a picture,
Quinn,
you guys.
And Lincoln wearing Bass Pro Shops T-shirts. Thank you for representing. How you doing, Quinn? Good.
You want to put Quinn on?
Yeah.
All right.
Hey, can I get one thing real quick?
Yeah.
You know, go back to Roy's point. it was fishing that kept me from getting in trouble and getting in jail because I loved it so much. I was on the water all the time. And I fished alone a lot, and I fished with a few of my friends. But fishing was the thing that kept me
out of trouble
and out of jail.
Were you headed down the wrong road at one point?
Oh, yeah. Very much so.
All right. We'll have you back on in a sec. Where'd your guy go? Hold on. Don't go far, though.
Go on over.
We got a young
have a seat right here, buddy. Have a seat right here. Stand right here so you're about a fist away from that microphone. Say hi.
Hi.
There you go.
How old are you?
9.
Okay. You got a question for us? What's your question?
When are we going to go fishing?
We're going to be putting lures in the tank at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, and 3 o'clock, doing live tank demos. But in a little while, JD's going to go up on the tank because he's never done that. So we're going to do that, too.
How about that? Hopefully I can perform in front of all these people.
Yeah. We'll see how it goes. You want to watch that?
How are you guys doing?
Put lures in the tank? We'll do it in just a few minutes, okay?
We're recording a podcast right now, so that's what's going on. So you're going to be famous. Where are you from?
New York.
Which? Well, good. Which part of New York?
Chittenango.
Chittenango. Do you go to Chittenango Middle School? Or elementary school? You do? So how many days do you get in a year fishing?
25.
25 days a year?
Okay, let me ask you a leading question. Have you ever gone out and made just 10 casts and stopped and said, that's enough? No.
You're changing what I said with that statement.
Okay.
If you only have time for 10 casts, that can count as a day. That's what I'm saying.
All right.
I never walk away from after. I'm done. That isn't what I'm saying. I do.
We'll put Quinn in the hot seat and ask her the same question.
All right.
And you ask the question. I won't do it.
And what was your name again, bud?
Lane.
Quentin.
Lane.
Lane. Thanks for coming on, Lane.
Well, thanks for coming on the podcast.
And tell your dad to listen to The Angler Within on Spotify. All right? Thank you, sir. Very cool. We got another little one coming up. Well, why don't you stand right there? Don't sit. Stand.
Stand right up.
A little bit closer.
Tell everybody what your name is.
Quinn.
Quinn Grady, right?
Yeah.
And you love to fish.
Yes.
I know that because your dad and I fish together. We hunt together. We've had some tremendous... John and I have been on a bear hunt to Maine a couple times. We've turkey hunted together, and we fished together quite a bit. But I know you love to fish, and JD has a question for you.
How many days do you get out a year fishing?
To fish.
40 to 50?
40 yeah. to 50 days.
That's awesome. Yeah. You got a great dad there.
Yeah, really. Do that. No kidding, absolutely. That's amazing. And Dad, are you a listener?
I've listened to every podcast. So.
You listen to every podcast. Let Dad get up on the mic.
Yep, every podcast. So
you can get.
We got you. Come here.
Nice. Well, nice to meet a real live listener.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does. He listens.
Yep. Oh yeah.
What's your favorite episode, Ben?
I gotta say the perch one of the early ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. With the Squirmy Chad introduction, and that's probably one of my favorite ones.
The
so.
Spawn is on? Is that the one?
Yeah.
Thank you. The Spawn is
one
on.
One of the earlier ones.
Yeah. Right on. Well, good. Thanks for listening to every single one of them.
We appreciate your support. You're immensely important.
Oh, you got it.
Ask Quinn your question.
I did ask him my question. Oh, about 10 casts?
Yeah.
Quinn, if you only had time to take 10 casts, would you go take them? You're saying no?
No, my daddy.
What'd she do? How old is she?
She's gonna be three. May 1st.
She's 3. Uh-oh,
she was born on opening day of turkey season.
Goes from the terrible twos to the mean threes. Yeah. Yeah. All right. So if you could only have 10 casts, would you go anyway?
Say yes.
Yes.
Okay. I don't know. I think. I think that this question has been. Beat to death.
Okay, we're done with that. Interestingly, my grandson was born on May 31st, the last day of turkey season.
Quinn was born right in the middle of deer seasons, so we didn't play him that well.
Who's the guy who just walked by with the Bass Pro sweater vest on? What's his deal? You don't know?
No.
He's got a special patch on. He had to work here a certain amount of time to get a sweater vest, Bass Pro sweater vest.
I didn't see him go by, so I can't tell you.
He had a cardigan sweater on. He walked by. Right on.
I didn't see that.
Well, good. Nice to meet you. Have you listened to the podcast, too, in the car?
Sometimes, yeah.
Sometimes? Is it easy to listen to?
Kind of.
Do you learn some stuff from Mr. Bilby?
Yeah.
Yeah? All right.
Well, thanks, Quinn.
Do you appreciate the things I have to say, too?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Good answer.
All right, good answer. That is a good answer. Okay.
Ricky, what are you doing?
We're going to go do some shopping.
Yeah, go do some shopping.
You do that. I'll
Thanks
catch
for
up
having
you.
You.
Yeah,
thanks for nice to meet you. Absolutely.
Why don't we get you up on top of the tank?
All right. We can do that. Wow.
Welcome to my workspace. So you need to make a gentle lob pass.
Okay. Oh, wow.
What I do, I just put a lob cast so it doesn't go far and it doesn't shoot the head.
Okay.
You want me to... Yeah.
So they'll grab it, but they won't get hooked.
They won't get hooked. All right. I get the hook rolled over so it's inside.
Okay. Yeah.
I'll grab it.
Oop. What's on there now? Squirm and shad?
Yeah.
Speed shad. Damn, they are grabbing it. Wow.
Well, they're not.
Oh, I just got one. That's awesome.
How cool is this?
It's amazing. Get a picture of me. What'd you do in this?
Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Bucket list item achieved. Bucket list item. Oh, yeah. Look at that guy. And we're rejoined by the mad scientist. All right, well, have a seat, man. What'd you pick up out there?
Well, I needed some new braid because the braid I had on my bait casting reel, which I'm going to try to actually use this year because I'm a spin cast guy. And Roy's trying to tell me that I have to have a bait cast rod to be a bait, to be a bass fisherman. It's a rule, I guess.
Really?
I don't know. Bought some of the finishers, the Berkeley finishers, because I'm looking for a good intermediate bait to...
Does this one go backwards too?
No, that one goes down, but it's pretty heavy. And so you can jig with it right at the water level, so it's really great for suspended fish.
Okay.
Which has been something I've been missing in my game.
Is it... are these on sale?
Yes.
What are they doing?
$8, I think.
Marked down from what? Was it 50% off?
33, so 12.
Nice.
Yeah. It kills me being a lure guy to buy lures. Like, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah. It's kind of like, I mean, do you tie your own flies, too?
Oh, yeah. I actually tie a white zonker that I'm going to use this year. Check nymphing. You ever check nymph fish?
Yeah, I use Euro. I check Euro nymphing setup. Yep.
So I'm going to actually implement that this year in the bass stuff. So I'll use a drop shot on a swivel. With behind that, I'm going to put some white zonkers for those bass that are challenged, that don't want to hit.
You're going to cross them over. You're going to attach a zonker onto your bait caster.
The mad scientists at work, man.
Interesting. I mean, essentially, it's the same as tying on a fluke on the back of a weighted jig, right?
Right.
Kind of the same thing.
Right.
How much lead do you put behind it? About 18 inches, 2 feet?
2 feet.
2 feet.
Maybe 3 feet.
Will this be a rabbit skin?
Yes.
Zonker?
Yep.
Okay.
Rabbit strip on the back with a cross cut on the front, and then I put on some super fashionable eyes on it, and I'm going to outcatch Roy this year with it.
Perfect.
Bring it.
That's great.
I just got back to the table. I was helping a customer, so I don't know if you talked about this yet or not. Tell me about your experience up on top of the world there.
I tell you what, that was awesome. It was over before I knew what was even going on, but it was, but thank you so much. It was wild. I don't know if you were watching, the last cast I had.
Yeah, he saw
one
it.
One of the big rainbows just smashed it next to the surface. If I could only have that kind of luck with my fly rod.
I have to say, being down here on the floor and looking up, I saw the kid in you come out.
Yeah. I bet. How was my action bringing that lure through the water? Did I look professional?
You look professional.
I did. Like, I knew what I was doing up there. I had a good coach tell me what to do. Never realized that it was, I mean, it makes sense from back here now, but, like, that's a narrow It's a narrow spot you have to cast into.
It is, and a very low ceiling. That's why I use the shorter rods up there.
Have you ever
used a bait caster up there? I hit the ceiling every time.
You ever messed up and cast it over the tank or like out of it before?
Yeah, once.
Onto the floor.
Once, and then you just bring it up over the edge real quick. It's not going to hook anybody because it's got the hook rolled over or removed.
Because I managed to get it in the, just need to put it in the back corner in that, in that one step.
Right, and it clack.
Once in a lifetime shot, I made it in there, and and then I yanked it back, and it was back to me. But that was really, it was, you can see really well from the top as well. Obviously, it's crystal clear water, so you should be able to.
Yep, you got a great view from up there.
But that was neat.
Yeah, it is. It's a unique experience. But from where I stand, it gives me the unique ability to demonstrate the lures. My job here is to move product and teach people how to use it. And that gives me the ultimate tool to do it.
Awesome. Well, I think that for this episode, we're going to shut it down.
We've got a lot of content already.
We do. How should we close this one out?
Well, I just want to say thank you guys for letting me hop on and have some fun with you.
Yeah.
Who are you calling over? He's telling you to leave again. John doesn't want to talk to you, man. He's blowing you off twice.
I told him
it's
about
Josh. It's not John. You want to say hi?
How's it going, guys? I'm selling that John boat right now at the same time.
Oh, good. Okay. Sell that John boat.
Yeah. He's busy.
Awesome. Very good.
Yeah, I looked at that boat, too. I was like, oh, that would be really good for
this thing right here.
Some of the streams that we fish.
Yes. I
bet it's lighter, a little more durable.
Yeah. A Bass Pro Shops John boat.
I won't scare you when I stand up in it.
It's interesting. What's the price tag on that baby?
$550.
If you're a club member, $549. Unbeatable deal.
Is that a 14-footer?
12.
12?
Yeah, they're a nice. They just came out with that this year.
I never realized
very
that.
Very similar. It's molded like their pond prowler, but it's a John boat style. Yep.
That's longer than 12 feet.
No, it's 12 foot.
Really?
Yeah, really.
Huh.
Got to get that set up with one of those ice skidder motors for the back of it, and we can start going across the thin ice.
Yeah. That. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a crazy video.
Very good.
When I first saw that, I thought, what in the world? A bass boat scooting across the ice.
Well, listen, check out Ray's Ray.
There you did it again.
I did it again.
Leave that in. I will.
I didn't believe you every time you said that to me. I'm like, you're full of crap. Check out Roy's Instagram at all lowercase Roy Bilby, and hit him with your questions because he's got the answers. Tell you what.
Yep, 40 years of writing everything down with incredible detail has given me a whole boatload of knowledge that I like to dispense out in our podcast. And as always, our only goal is to help you to tap into your angler within.
Happy 1-year anniversary, buddy.
You too, JD.